And we are back once again, 121st installment of the Parish of the Patriots. By the way, I made more room. This is just starting the show off with complete randomness. But this is the 121st installment of this show. And, you know, my poor old computer, it's so tired. It's like me. It's old and tired. And my poor old computer, you know, the memory was lagging. It was having some. To me, and I really helped it out. I really sped up my computer because I got to thinking about it, and so I got a flash drive. I got a 16 gig flash drive, and I took the first 119 installments of this show and copied them to the flash drive for posterity's sake. Somebody may want to put them in a museum someday, maybe in, like, I don't know, some church archive somewhere to save this for history's sake. But then I deleted those 119 shows from the computer, and it wound up being like over 10 gigs. I mean, it was this huge amount. Now I have memory in my computer. That's how much these shows. It's just hard to believe we're at 121 episodes. It's a lot of content. It's a lot of work, but it's a labor of love, as they say. I am glad you stopped by. We're looking forward to a lively discussion. If it's your first time stopping by, we do lively discussions, and we don't sit around here and just bitch about stuff. We actually try to figure things out and try to figure out a positive way to move forward. We have a Christian specific. There is a reason we have the name of the show what it is. We do a sermon later in the show, usually about the halfway point. If you're not a Christian believer, some of y'all still get something out of it. If you don't want to listen to it, that's up to you. The first half of the show, we're just kind of talking about whatever I feel like talking about. But yes, we do have a sermon later on, and I can guarantee you may get something out of it, you may not, but I can guarantee you it's not something you can go down to any random church in your town and get that sort of based message. This show is supported by the voluntary financial support of you, the listeners. It is very much appreciated. You are a very small percentage, and you're just my elite. I really do appreciate it. If you want to be a part of that, you can skip to the bottom of the description page. We got SnailMail, we got Bitcoin, we got Monero. Got an email address, so if you have some other cryptocurrency, drop me an email. I'll do my best to get you a address for whatever you've got there. You know, drop me a note. It's always fun because we do the listener supporter mailbag, one of my favorite parts of the show. Speaking of which, let's get right off into that. Mr. T, GPD, small offering for the plate. It's all appreciated. Like I say, very few put anything in the plate. So yes, it's all very much appreciated. Next up, Grandpa Dan. I love the shows you do on Radio Albion, though I don't catch them as often as I'd like. I really enjoyed the recent episode you did with Sven about Mengele and the Seven Dwarves. I had quite a laugh. Keep up the great work. Regards, Jared. And you know, this show is my main focus. I mean, this is the center show, but too often I'm also on the Friday installment of the Daily Nationalist with Sir Longshanks. And we try to have a lot of fun with that, and we're never lacking for material. But if you haven't caught that, be sure and stop by, check out our Friday installments. It's only a 30-minute show, so it's something you can probably listen to, you know, on your commute back and forth to work, on the way home from work on a Friday. What better way to start the weekend than with a good chuckle? And one of the great things about the podcasting format and the way that, you know, obviously Radio Albion is set up is that, unlike, you know, if you're listening to a show that's done live on AM Normicon Radio and you miss it, I mean, you're just shit out of luck. But see, if you miss a show on Radio Albion, you could just go back. You could just go back, catch it at any time. Let's keep rocking here. Grandpa Dan, Ohio has opened up. Feels like a weight lifted off our shoulders. Plan on enjoying it while it lasts. A little time to rest up for the next fight. Your message about not holding on to the past sins and mistakes has helped me a lot. Not looking back and moving forward now, Tony. And that is great. And that is kind of the idea. You just, if y'all miss that, you want to go back. You want to go back and catch that, because your past doesn't exist. You get strung down by something that doesn't even exist. You can't go pick it up. You can't carry it in your hand. It only exists in your head. And likewise, your future doesn't exist. All you have is the right now. What are you doing right now? You can do things now to try to plant seeds for a positive future. It really, I'm sorry, I'm going off into rehashing, but I'm glad you got something out of it. And I think that was, I don't know, I think it's a show that could really, really help people. Yes, and you know, you're not going to have long to wait for the next fight, because they're already going to ratchet up. I told somebody IRL the other day, my prediction is, that by next year at this time, they're going to be doing everything they can to make those who are refusing the vaccines' lives hell. I really mean that. They're going to be blaming you when the flu season comes back, as it does every single year. They're going to do everything they can to blame you that have refused to be vaccinated. You're the reason people had the flu, even though they maybe had the vaccine. It totally works and is totally safe. Trust the experts. They are. You can see, because they've been pounding in the news this past week about, you know, well, the people getting the vaccines has plummeted. Well, that's because they went through the people that were total sheep. They were just waiting. They were people, you remember that? They were people like bribing to get in line so they could get their doom flu shots first. They could be the first guinea pigs, you know, and then they got to the people that were, you know, okay, wait till the hubbub dies down, then they go get it. They get to the people that, well, it'll be more convenient for me. Now they've started more carrots. You know, you don't have to wear the mask. Of course, we're totally not going to ask you to prove that. So people that don't have the vaccine could be not wearing the mask. So, but we're not going to come out with a vaccine passport. Trust us. A lot of trust us involved in here. But as the carrots run out, we're down to this ludicrous part. Joe Biden standing up there making a speech about if you get your vaccine, Anheuser-Busch is going to give you a free beer. What a great... Some people are freaking cheap. At least some of these governors are offering like a chance at $1 million to be a guinea pig. Yeah, well, what's the cost of being a guinea pig? I'll give you a free beer. Okay. Marka, free beer. Hell yeah, buddy. So, yep, this is how stupid they think people are. These people will go out and do it for free beer. Sure, I guess. But then run out of carrots. And at some point, that means the sticks come out. And at first, they're just going to be tapping on you. And then the stick's going to get bigger. You're going to get a bigger and bigger stick. When they're just wait, if the flu season comes back around, as it always does, just imagine when they start doing what they've done before and pronouncing all of these tens of thousands of people are dropping dead. And the, oh my gosh, the hospital workers once again are being overrun. The doom virus. How could this happen? Well, it's because of those people. Those people who refuse to get vaccine. They're the reason all of these people are dying. This is murder. Oh, you just wait. Just wait. Spiciness. The spiciness is yet to begin. And let's see, finally up this week, this is from John. Dan, I really liked your What is a Patriot reading. Would it be possible to record that as a separate monologue? I'd like to post that on the net in various pages and sites. This is kind of a two-part thing. I'll stop there. Yes, it is possible. There's any number of free software where you can download an MP3 if you just want to edit out, you know, just edit the other stuff out and have just that. There's any number of free sites where I edit these shows. It's a lot of work, by the way. It's how people deep fake audio. They sit there and cut and splice. The media does it on a regular basis. Cut and splice and make things sound like they're not. But no, there's any number of free software you can download. You can edit out if you just want a certain portion of the show, whatever. If you do that, I ask that you keep the context of everything there together. Don't be making a deep fake of the show. Onto the second, but not really. I mean, you could do that. It's once you learn it, it's easy. You can do all sorts of number of things. Like I say, that's how I edit this show. It's not hard. It's not hard at all. Also, in your last podcast, you seem to be unsure of where the Israelites are today. They migrated into Europe, and people from all the tribes were brought here on wings of a great eagle. He gathered into one nation according to the two sticks prophecy. So in fact, America is the land of Israel. Well, God, I hope not. Sorry. I think this is one we're going to have to, I don't think that. And I didn't save this for the Christian specific segment. So I'll just say that, you know, for those of you that do want to actually read the prophecy, you can find it in Ezekiel 37, starting at verse 15. If you fast forward, I'll tell you really quick why. No, I don't think that. If you fast forward, you can simply fast forward to verse 23. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things. That pretty much knocks America out. But no, the thing is, if you look at like how, you know, Israel of the Old Testament is presented, it's very ethnocentric. I mean, beyond what Americans view as ethnocentric, because you have to remember, Americans have this view, pretty much this whole view of this universal view of race as white people is an American thing. I've talked about this many times before, but if you look at Europe, if you go up to a random white person in Europe and say, hey, you're a white guy, they're going to say, no, I'm a German. I'm a Frenchman. Even in Britain, if you ask the average American, you know, what's the difference between someone who's British and someone who's English, they will say it's the same thing. But if you go to Britain, they're not going to tell you it's the same thing. They say, oh, well, you know, you must be English. You live in Britain. And they'd be like, no, I'm Welsh. I'm a Scot. I'm Irish. I'm English. It's two different things. But Americans have this, you know, more general. Now, if you look at Israel in the Old Testament, it's like Europe. It's like that same European mindset. They were of the same larger group, but they would say, I'm an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm an Israelite of the tribe of Levi. I'm Welsh. I'm a Scot. I'm German. I'm French. See, Americans, that was part of what defined Israel in the Old Testament. See, white people in America, and I say this all the time, and it pisses people off. It's kind of the other thing we do here. But white people in America, I'm talking about myself too. We are the mutts of the white race. You're, well, I'm American. Well, but what ancestry do you have? Well, I got a little bit of Irish in me, and then there's some German in there too. And just virtually every white person in the U.S. at some point in time will say, and I have 0.1453% Indian in me. I don't know why. You have all these white people in America always want to be claiming they got some Indian in them. It's like that's a status point or some shit. Yes, well, my great grandmother on my mother's side, she was a Cherokee squaw. You know this. I'm getting off on a tangent. But the thing is, we're the mutts of the white race. We got a little bit of everything in us. That's why we tend to have this generic view of white people. White people were people in Europe. They identify as their particular tribe, if you would. I'm German, French, Russians, Bulgarians. I mean, you can go on and on. They would sit there and say, I'm European. I'm just white. No, they identify as their particular group, as their particular extended family, as their particular tribe, if you would. We don't have any of that here in the U.S. And I think just approaching it from that point of view, kind of discounts that notion. And again, I didn't say this for the Christian specific segment. If people want to go read the whole thing and you know, come to their own conclusions, that's whatever. But yeah, that just to me applying my own common sense to it, I'd say no, I disagree. I disagree with that. You're free to think what you want to. I'm not really interested in devolving into debates, and I do appreciate the financial support. I hate to disagree with somebody that sends financial support to the show, but we stick with the truth regardless. Anyway, is appreciated as we continue to move on to the show. Through the show, you know, the clown world parade here in this world in the West continues marching on. I really wonder, I mean, I have no idea. I have no conception of what it's like to live in Russia. I would love to go and live there for a while and see what that's like. Actually experience perhaps somewhere that is not clown world or China or wherever, somewhere that is not clown world. Iran. I'll go live in Iran for a while, somewhere that is not clown world, because we're so subjected to the never ending clown. We're so subjected to the never ending clown that we don't know any different. Well, I said, I'm old enough. I'm old enough. I remember when this wasn't a parade of the never-ending clown, but now younger people, they don't know any different. Somebody was born in the past 20 years. They don't know anything but clown world. That's all they know. Sad. I wonder what it's like to live in those other countries that aren't on a constant clown parade. It's, we had the big revelation this past week. Anthony Fauci emails were acquired by BuzzFeed. We had these Anthony Fauci emails, and everybody was going on about this. Normie cons were, you know, all giddy about it. I haven't gone through anywhere nearly all of them. I've mostly read probably the same excerpts as many of you have. I'm not seeing a lot there. Mostly it was, I mean, yeah, obviously one of the things I think is very obvious is that the guy just says what he's told to say. I mean, you know, his first reaction is wearing a mask around is stupid, but then he's told, no, you got to promote the mask thing. So he comes out and says, masks, they're science. I mean, the guy's an employee. Make no mistake, Anthony Fauci is not a part of the elite. He's an employee of the elite, but he is not the elite. This guy, it's like if you go buy a new car, you know, it's the most annoying thing in the world because you go buy a new car and it's a sticker price, $50,000. You're like, I'm not paying $50,000. Oh, let's go make a deal. Let's go make a deal. The salesman takes you in there. Let's go make a deal. Let's go make a deal. And you're like, I'll give you $40,000. I ain't giving you $50,000 for no damn car. And the guy says, okay, let me write that down. I'll be right back. And he disappears. And then he comes back. And he says, will you do? Look, we can do $49,500. We're coming down $500, man. You're nowhere near $40,000. And you're like, you fool, I'll get up and walk out of here. And he's like, whoa, wait. Well, maybe we could do something else. I love the car trick, too, where they're like, well, if you put another $2,000 down, we can come down to $47,000. Wait, really? You're dropping the price? Well, no. They're just taking your money down and acting like the price magically reduced. All kinds of shady shit they do on you. But the point is, he's like, no. And he's like, okay, well, what will you do? And you're like, okay, well, I'll do 45. Write that down. Will you sign that? You agree you'll do 45? Well, yeah, you buy the car today for 45. It's annoying. I hate buying vehicles. Luckily, I can't afford to buy a new car, so I have to do this so much. Anyway, and then he disappears again and then comes back with some other bullshit offer. And he does this whole back and forth routine because he's running back there talking to the sales manager. Now, you get mad and you get aggravated and everybody talks shit about that guy that keeps coming back with these bullshit offers that are nothing like what you're agreeing to. But he ain't making no decisions. It's the sales manager. He's back there. He just wants to make his commission. He's just trying to get the money. And he can't even be getting the money because every time he go back there, his sales manager is like coming up with some bullshit that you ain't going to go for. He's trying to get the money. The point is, there's a point. The salesman isn't making that call. The salesman is not making that deal. It's the sales manager. But he stays behind the scenes. He doesn't deal with you. The salesman's job is to deal with you and put up with your shit and talk you into paying what they want you to pay for that car. Anthony Fauci is the car salesman. He's not the sales manager. If he was the sales manager, you wouldn't see him. But he's the car salesman. He's the car salesman of the pandemic. Write that down. You can use it. You can steal it. Steal my meme. I don't care. He's the car salesman of the pandemic. You got people think he's the sales manager. He ain't even no sales manager. He's just a salesman running his ass back and forth. Running his ass back and forth. Stepping and fetching. Doing what he's told. Trying to get the money. Of course, a big thing that Normicons are making of this is, now they're actually starting to open up to the idea. This come from China, just like Trump says. See, we're vindicated now. They haven't. We're vindicated. Now they're open to the idea this came from Wuhan lab. You have to be suspicious because I get so tired of the anti-China shilling. I really do. Because, you see, the sales managers back there, they want a war with China and Russia for some reason. They're ratcheting up the hostilities. Maybe they think they can ratchet it up and just hold it just shy of actual war breaking out. I don't know. Because it looks like from where I sit, they're shilling for war with Russia and China. They seem to swap back and forth which one is more the boogeyman this week. But they're openly hostile. And you have these normie people, these normie cons out here go, China Joe. I made a comment the other day that, you know, China didn't shut down the economy. China isn't pushing the vaccine on everybody. China isn't funneling billions of dollars from the working and poor classes and making sure it all goes to billionaires. China didn't do any of that. And somebody responded and said, well, that's why they call him China Joe. No, that all went down with Trump. What the hell are you talking about? China Joe Biden. There's no notion that Joe Biden is controlled by China. But then why is he ratcheting up war with China? Or he's not. The administrator, we all know, that boy don't know whether he's horseback or foot. Why are they ratcheting up war with China, hostility with China, if they're owned by China? they would be pushing, we would be treating China like we treat Israel. Let's say that again. If this administration, if this government was owned by the Chinese, we would be treating China like we treat Israel. You figure it out. It's nonsensical. I have to wonder, and I, in my years of experience, I've gotten to where I don't underestimate. I try so hard not to underestimate how freaking stupid people are. You know, I mean, because you could start thinking, you see people in various comments and they start ginning up. It's China. We knew it. It was them chinks all along. And you think these people got to be paid shills because the regime wants war with China. They want hostility with China. And then you have these people that claim to be against the global oligarchy and they want war with China. It doesn't make sense. You think these people got to be shills. But I try not to underestimate how I'm trying not to use it. This is the second time I've almost dropped the F-bomb on the show. I try not to underestimate how stupid people can be. If what you're promoting falls in line with what the oligarchy obviously wants, you're probably on the wrong path. Unless you're getting a check for it, and most of them probably aren't, then you're probably misguided. You're probably deceived. Now, out of these, to me, the one thing I read, there was this insinuation that there was a little bit of panic that this could be traced back to the U.S. Now, if that was the case, and I don't want to get into, because all of this turns into, because we have very little actual facts. And that's, you have somebody says, I know exactly what happened. They're full of shit, because we don't hardly have any information. We're taking what little bit of what we do know and extrapolating from that and trying to come to a conclusion, because everything's banned, everything's censored, and those who are doing it sure as hell aren't going to tell us. So we're taking what little tidbits we got and we're trying to put something together. It's like if you had a 1,000-piece puzzle and you got 100 pieces and you're trying to put those pieces together out of this 1,000-piece puzzle and you're trying to line those pieces up on the table and figure out what the hell the picture is. That's what we're doing. That's what anybody is doing. Anybody sits there and says, oh, I got all the, I know exactly what's going on. They're full of shit. None of us do. I don't care how smart they are. Don't care what kind of good ideas they have. They may be close, but we're all just shuffling the pieces around because we don't have all the information. Now, this idea that the U.S. might have been funding this bioweapon research at this Chinese lab, it's very, very much possible. But if that happened, and whether it was released on purpose or by accident, I tend to say on purpose because they obviously had this whole virus regime they implemented all lined up and ready to go. I don't. We know how slow and cumbersome the government operates. So this notion that, wow, they rolled this out and quick they said they just so happened to set a world record for having a vaccine ready to go. That's just so streamlined, so efficient, or they had it ready ahead of time. But now, if the vaccine was funded by the U.S., but the research was done in China, you could understand why they would want to do this sort of research overseas and have, like, you know, cover their tracks sort of thing. And we're just theorizing here with very little facts to go on. But now that the government is openly saying this could have indeed come from a weapons lab in Wuhan. But if the research was being conducted, funded from the U.S., it makes sense to me that if it was released, it was released by whoever was writing the check for it, by the U.S. Otherwise, you got to believe what the Chinese did it to themselves for some reason. We're not even going to go down that road because the more you follow it, the dumber it gets. But yeah, you'll still have these people say, well, that doesn't change fact, coming from China then. That would be like if somebody else went into your house and set that sumbitch on fire and burned your house down. And people said, well, it's your fault. It's your house. You did it. No, I didn't. This guy came in and lit my shit on fire. I didn't set the house on fire. You were there. It's your house. It's your fault. Maybe this lines up with the magic dirt theory that if you happen to be on the soil in America, you're an American. This America, this view that Americans have, you know, if you're in America, you're America. You look at the standard normie con view as promoted. They got no problem with legal immigration. It's these wetbacks coming across the river. That's the problem. As long as they've got the piece of paper, I'm all more immigration. Well, that's why we need more immigration. We just got to have the piece of paper, though. We can't have these boys coming across swimming a river. That's just nasty. Got to have the piece of paper. They're on the soil, they're American. They went through the special course to become an American. The magic dirt, maybe that's it. Maybe if the U.S. were to have researched, funded, and then released a bioweapon in China, and this is all that. But if they did that, that means the Chinese did it because it happened on the magic dirt of China. It all sounds silly. Sounds very dodgy, doesn't it? Going back to the illustration of having a 1,000-piece picture puzzle and only having 100 pieces and trying to make sense of that. Imagine if you were trying to do that. What would you do? You would arrange the pieces. You would try to stand back and try to get... You wouldn't look at a single piece of what is this? What could this picture of this 1,000-piece puzzle be from this single piece? You wouldn't do that, but that's what most people do. No, you would back up. You would put the pieces out there and try to figure out what is there so that you'd have some place to start. In other words, you would try to look at the big picture. That's the way I think it's easiest to understand this. Because you can get off into these ways, and I just did it. I just kind of gave an example of what it's like when you start, you know, having so little facts and trying to just go down and set up a specific scenario of what may or may not happen. It's easy to spiral off into that, and it might be plausible. But the best way to understand these things, I think, is to step back and look at the big picture. And by that, I mean, if you look at what are they pushing for right now? I mean, overall, just step back. Because one of the ways they keep everybody distracted is they keep these things, you know. Oh my gosh, Russian hackers just shut down the meat plant. Your meat prices are going up. Oh, last week, Russian hackers shut down a pipeline. Your gas is going up. These Russians. You, these hackers. Putin needs to do something. Putin's people, the Kremlin's traced back to the Kremlin. Well, we don't think the Kremlin actually did. There's these conflicting messages. The Kremlin didn't do it, but they're responsible because we're just sure those hackers are in Russia. But they probably did have something to do with the Kremlin because everybody in Russia has something to do with the Kremlin. The point is, you don't want to get distracted by whatever the fantastic headline of the week is. You're supposed to be captivated. The virus, it might have actually come from a Chinese lab in Wuhan. What does it mean? You got to look at the big picture. The big picture. What are they pushing for overall? Conflict with Russia and or China. So if they hand you a narrative and you're supposed to come to the conclusion that it ends up at hostility with Russia and China, then more than likely you've taken some sort of bait. You've taken the bait because that is what they want. They are pushing overall for this hostility with Russia and China. So if you're presented with something, a narrative, and you take from that narrative that, oh, wow, China, Russia, we must have hostility with them, then you've probably taken some sort of bait. You've got to keep an eye on the big picture. You can see, you don't know all the, nobody knows all of the details, but we do know the general direction that they are pushing for. We know that. We can look and figure out where are things going. It's like the vaccine thing. I don't know exactly what measures they're going to roll out. I just know they're going to get more coercive about it. They're bound and determined to get everybody. Once again, they're saying it. We're going to get everybody vaccinated. That's not possible without getting really coercive. At some point, they're going to run out of carrots. They're going to whip out the sticks. They're going to get very coercive about the vaccine. Look at the big picture. Where are they going with this? I don't know the details, but I know they're going to get more coercive about it. They're going to exert as much pressure as they can get away with on everybody to get it done. For some reason, they're bound and determined to get everybody to take these shots. So if they present a narrative and the first reaction is, oh, well, yeah, okay. But that narrative pushes you into what they're pushing for in the bigger picture. Oh, more people need to be forced to get the vaccine. You see, you got to keep an eye on that big picture. See where that's going, where they're going with it. Don't get hung up on whatever the fantastic headline. Look at this. Look at there. Look at here, because it's constant. It's constant white noise. Look at this fantastic. Oh, my gosh, this outrageous thing. We're supposed to be outraged this week about this thing. Oh, we're supposed to be outraged this week about this other thing. Oh, look at this absurd thing somebody is doing. We have all these distractions. You know, bread and circuses can consist of being outraged too. The outrage porn. We got everybody on pornography, but they got everybody also on outrage pornography. What can you be outraged about this week? Don't look at the bigger picture. You want to keep an eye on the bigger picture because that is how you tell the direction in which things are going. In the case of the West, they're going to hell very quickly. No reason to think that it's going to go in a different direction. So on that note, we need to get into the Christian specific segment for this week, the sermon, if you would. So you know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's Christian specific segment here at the Parish of the Patriots. So as you get settled in this week, we're going to do something a little different, somewhat different, not too way off different. My approach here has always been to try to give you something that you can use, you know, something you can actually use, not some abstract idea, but something that you can actually put into, you know, into use in your daily life. That's always kind of my goal with this thing. And a lot of times we'll sit here and try to understand certain verses from the Bible. And the idea with that is, you know, then you can take that knowledge and that understanding and that thing perhaps that we've gone over and apply it to your own life and make your own life better, you know, make your own walk with the Lord better, you know, grow a little more as a Christian believer. That's all we're aiming for. That's kind of always the point. And in that vein of thought, I was thinking about how some people find it amazing that these globalist elites, if you would, who rule over us, you know, they will project what they're going to do. And that can seem strange when you realize they're doing that. I mean, for instance, they will come out and say, well, there's going to be, it's inevitable, there will be a global pandemic. And lo and behold, we get the doom virus. Now, they will project what they are going to do. And some people will find this kind of baffling, kind of confusing. They think perhaps it's like arrogance, like they're rubbing it in our face. But I don't see it that way because you see, Satan, everything he does is this weird, wicked, bizarro world-like inversion of what the Lord does. It has to do with his mindset of being in conflict with God, yet at the same time, he wants to make a mockery. He has to just, he's like a cheap copy. He's like a really shitty knockoff of what the Lord does. So he tries to kind of mimic what God does in this idea that he could be God. If you kind of think of it like that, it makes sense. So you have his prophets that go out as the experts, and they will tell you there's going to be a pandemic, and lo and behold, it comes back. Now, if you think back when the prophets of old would come out, they would kind of, it's, you can see where that's a reflection. The prophets of old would go out and tell the people, this is what the Lord God says. If you do this, I am going to bring about, say, this destruction. I'm going to hand you over to this invading army. Your cities will be laid waste. I will do this. I am the Lord. Now, the prophets of Satan will come out and they will say, this is going to come to pass and there will be a global pandemic. And there will be this, there will be that. And lo and behold, it comes to pass. They're not what you would say, it's the definition of a false prophet, in the sense that a false prophet will generally be the person that will come out and say, well, you know, the Lord says this is going to happen. You know, somebody said, tomorrow when you wake up, the Lord is going to block off the sun. When you got up the next day, nothing happened. That's a false prophet. It didn't come true. What they say comes to pass. You see, the key element that they leave out, because Satan is a liar. We know this. He speaks the language of lies. But you have to always remember that his lies are often of omission. Lying by omission. You got to remember, Satan will lie by omission. And it can be really deceptive. So if you look at the prophets of old, they would say what? The Lord is going to do. This is going to pass. It's going to come to pass. Why? Because they had some great idea. Because they're so wise. No, they would say, this is going to come to pass because the Lord is going to do it. You see, these things didn't come to pass. The nation wasn't destroyed. The city wasn't destroyed. The invading army weren't handed over to the invading army. There wasn't a great plague or whatever the prophecy may be. It didn't happen by happenstance, and the prophets weren't claiming that it just so happened to come about by pure chance. No, they said specifically, well, it's going to happen because The Lord is going to cause this to happen. He is going to do it. Now, you see, the prophets of Satan will come out and tell you this is going to happen, and it comes to pass. See, the part they leave out is who's going to do it. The prophets of the Lord would say specifically, the Lord is going to do this thing. The prophets of Satan say this is going to come to pass, and they leave it just hanging out there. It's an omission. It's a lie by omission. It's just going to come about by pure happenstance. Why do you believe it's inevitable there's going to be a global pandemic? There's going to be a cyber pandemic, whatever their prophecy may be. Why do you believe it's inevitable? Oh, it's got to happen by pure happenstance. See, it's an omission lie. Omission, a lie by omission. They leave out the who's going to do it because they're going to do it. They know it's going to come to pass because they plan to do it. And they're in your face about it. And yet, I don't know, perhaps even more amazing than this is that the people are just like, oh, that's because they're the experts. They just know these things are going to happen by pure happenstance. They just know these things are just by pure coincidence. These things are going to come about. The prophets of the Lord said this is going to happen, not by pure happenstance, because God is going to do it. You will do, if you continue to do this, he is going to do that. But he's going to do it. It's not just going to happen as just a random result of things. It's not going to come about by happenstance. God is going to do it. The prophets of Satan, their prophecies come true. So technically, I don't know that you could call them false prophets in that sense, because their prophecies come true. But the lie is in the omission. They're not going to tell you who's doing it because they're a part. They're the ones doing it. They bring it about. But it's always this weird, like I said, this wicked inversion of what the Lord does, this copying, this mimicry. So why do they do it? Maybe if you think of it just strictly in the mindset of physical man acting autonomously, it doesn't make any sense. Is it arrogance? Why do they have to tell us ahead of time that they're going to do this? They themselves more than likely don't even understand why they are compelled to do it. But they are compelled to do it by their father, the devil. He is compelling them to do this because they have to follow. He has to follow. He just is compelled to follow this transcript, this mimicry, this copying of what the Lord does. So they go out and they do these things. They speak the language of their father, the devil. When you understand that Satan does this constant mimicry, he's compelled to do this like cheap knockoff copy of what the Lord does, only inverted, you can start spotting it everywhere. You really can. You can start spotting these patterns. For instance, if you look through your Bible, from Christ himself, the disciples, the prophets, the Lord uses like lowly people. The Christ didn't come up from like an expert in the church. It was a carpenter's son. You look at the church, which spread, the Christian church, which spread all over the entire planet. Think of this. The Christian church, the Christian faith spread all over the entire planet. It started from a carpenter's son. But who else spread it? Look at the disciples. He found these guys just random working men out fishing. Just got some fishermen. I mean, you think about it. You wouldn't do that. But that's the way the Lord works. The Lord, time and time again, if you look all through your Bible, he picks these random, like low people, usually working class people. I say low people. I don't mean people of poor stature, people of poor, what do I want to say? Like a low moral or something. I'm not saying shitty people, working type of people. He virtually never uses the experts. But you see, Satan does. Christian faith was not spread by these high and mighty people. I mean, yes, we set these people up now. We talk about, say the Apostle Paul or any of the apostles that spread the Christian faith and grew the church from nothing. I mean, we look at them now and you have big sculptures or big paintings and we say, wow, these were great men. But at the time, they weren't. I mean, they're great men in hindsight, but at the time, these were just working class guys that were able to do these things. When Jesus was confronting the experts, what would they often say? Well, where did you get this learning? Who gave you this understanding? Who is this guy? He's just a carpenter or something. Well, he's going to tell us these things. We are the experts. The Lord, time and time again, will use these people, will use people that nobody thinks is an expert. Is how he's glorified. Because if you use an expert, that person can claim glory. They'll say, oh, this is a great man. If he, for instance, because you can understand a little bit of the reasoning of why God does these things, these amazing things that he does. You see, if an expert comes up out of, say, a religious expert, the high priest in the church comes forward and says, you know, these great things, well, that person gets glory. People say, what an amazing man. He knows these things. But if a nobody comes out and says, look, these sorts of things are going to come to pass, and they come to pass, you know it's from the Lord. You can't sit here and say, well, that guy, he just is really smart. He knew this was going to, we should have listened to him. He knew what was going to happen. When somebody that has really no reason to understand any of this stuff, because he's just a working class guy, when he comes out and says, and it comes to pass, well, you know, he couldn't have understood that on his own. He really did hear the voice of the Lord. He was really driven by the Holy Spirit. Could a bunch of working class fishermen kind of guys spread a faith all over the entire face of the planet? Does that sound reasonable to you? That some nobodies who couldn't even catch fish very well suddenly were able to spawn a religion that spanned the entire face of the planet. Does that sound reasonable to you? Does that sound like something that could really just happen because these guys were pretty good? No. No, you have to know that was the work of the Lord. I mean, they had to do what they had to do, but they were being guided by God. But see, Satan does the inversion. He does kind of what might on the surface look like. He has his prophets. We've already talked about that. But you see, he does the inversion. He does the opposite. He has the experts. They have a degree. They are the experts. We have to listen. What do they always tell us over and over? Shut up. Don't think. Don't question. Listen to the experts. We have to listen to the experts. We have to follow the science. He uses the experts. He uses the high and mighty. Those of high social status. Those we should deify. Because they're so much smarter. You see, don't question it. They know because they're smarter than you are. You're stupid. Talking about going about our Christian lives and our day and how you live your faith. One of the things I get so tired of. Christian believers, we need to quit being defensive. And what I mean by that is, you will get inevitably when you encounter people who are anti-Christian, in other words, usually atheist spurgs, they will sit there and mock you. And I've seen this time and time again. They will mock people's Christian faith. And they always will put the Christian believer in this defensive position. And I hate that. Get offensive. Get offensive because everything is on your side. The natural order is on your side. Just because some atheist spurg spouts off flying spaghetti monster. By the way, you know you're dealing with somebody with the intellect of about a 13-year-old when they whip that out and think that it's so clever and they've just got you. But yet a Christian believer, I see these Christian believers time and again will sit there and just, well, let me explain. Mock them back. Get offensive. What are you worried about? They're shitheads. Screw those guys. No, I mean it. Get offensive. Quit sitting there and trying to be all nice and polite to somebody that's spitting in your face. Mock them back. You've got the natural order. You've got the creation on your side. Science of it, by the way, science in and of itself is of a godly nature. Let me explain really quickly, because what they're defining as science today is not science. The scientific method is you take something you observe in nature, which is going to come down to what God created, and you say, well, I believe it works this way. So you set up an experiment where you can prove that it works this way. If I do A, B, and C, D will happen. So you set up your experiment and you do A, B, and C, and lo and behold, as a result, D comes about. So you do the experiment again, and it happens. And you establish, this is science. This is, if you do A, B, and C, D will be the result. Now you understand what God has created that much better. Once you have established that, it doesn't matter who does A, B, and C, because it's a fact, it's truth. It's truth because God creates, part of the creation of the Lord. Any other rando off the street or a scientist or whoever, if they put together the right materials and they too do A, B, and C, lo and behold, D will be the result. It won't matter. But what you have paraded about as science is now is far from that. It's theories. It's statistics. They will say, I don't believe in any of your Christianity mumbo jumbo. Oh, why is that? Because science, really. Yes, you can't prove any of those things. Well, we have these ancient scriptures that are a historical account of those things happening. I mean, most of history is just the result of people writing it down, and we read about it, and we say, oh, okay, well, those guys were there. They must have known. I mean, that's what makes up the most of history. And they said, well, that doesn't count because I believe in the science. I mean, really? Okay. So we look at this world and how everything. One of the things I think that really just proves this is so nonsensical is that math exists. You see, these people believe that everything, this perfect order, this perfect balance in nature. I'm not talking about the disorder that Satan creates that man does and messes up in this world. I'm talking about the creation itself. Everything works in perfect balance. These people are holding the position that that just happened, bitch, at random. As oh, you believe God created the world in 7 days? Science. Okay, well, how do you think the world came about? And quit, don't sit there and say, well, let me explain. What. No, this guy's a shithead. You don't owe him anything. Make him defend his position. Okay, well, how do you think? I'm looking at this world. We breathe this oxygen. We have somewhat intelligent beings here in the form of humans. Somewhat. I think people are getting dumber, but we won't get off on that. You have nature works together and bees pollinate and plants grow and animals eat the plants and other animals eat those animals. And this perfect cycle that keeps everything going. So how did this come about if some intelligent entity did not create it?
Well, there was a big bang in space.
Wait. No, because space, as you know, it doesn't exist before your big bang theory. Back right on up now. Where's the experiment? Where did you replicate the Big Bang thing?
It's just the best theory we've got to go on.
Oh, because that's what it comes down to. They will at some point get around to say, well, yeah, we can't replicate it as an experiment. Then stop. It's not science.
But it's the best theory.
No. It's not science. It's your theory. But your theory could very well be full of shit. You have no proof. You see, the Christian believer now, when they run into these people, spend all their time trying to create proof and explain their position to some asshole that has no inclining to actually listen and consider any of it. Stop. This is what the Lord warned about when he said, don't throw your pearls to swine. You don't owe them anything. Mock them. They're shitheads. They have nothing. Where's the experiment? Who replicated the Big Bang since that's science?
Well, they can't. But that's the best theory. It's the best theory we have to work on.
You're making it up. I have a theory that the moon is made of cheese. It doesn't mean it's real. It's a theory. You're making it up. And it winds up, you will quickly discover that it's a religion. That's why I always draw a line. You know, I draw a line between atheists because most atheists are spurgs. I'm sorry, they are. I draw a line between atheists and agnostics because you'll have people that say, well, I just don't believe, but they don't have this compulsion to spread their gospel of the worship of man, which is humanism, which basically is what atheist spurgs promote. It's a religion. They have a religious fervor about it. The agnostic just says, well, I don't know. I have a hard time believing all of this stuff. And that's, yeah, they're fine. I could deal with that. Because those people will generally be open to listening to things. Oh, that kind of makes sense. But see, the atheist spurg is not. The atheist spurg is incapable of that. They have to spread the religion of science of man. Man is God. That's what it comes down to. Man is God. They can't replicate it. Okay, so I'll give you your Big Bang. There was a Big Bang. Who caused the Big Bang to go? Well, it just happened. it just happened. And from this just random there was nothingness. Because remember, all of the stars, everything, all of these planets, all of these moons and asteroids and everything you see in space, before the Big Bang, there was nothing there. Just then, out of nothingness, this bang happened for no reason. It just happened at random. Okay. Well, then out of all of these chances, and then by chance, the earth was created. And then also by chance, you know, this perfect environment for humans to live in and breathe, and animals and all of nature just so happened by pure coincidence. Does this sound ridiculous? It is ridiculous. You look at how everything works in perfect balance. These people are arguing. You're sitting there defending your position instead of going on the offense to a bunch of people that can't defend their position at all because it's total lunacy. I mean, if somebody wanted to sit there and argue with the proper name of who created all of this, at least they're saying, well, somebody created, obviously an intelligent entity put all of this together. These people don't even have that. Their whole thing is based on it just happened at random. How did people come to exist? Why are people sentient and able to think and reason while lower animals are not able to do that? Well, why? Well, because of evolution. Because, you know, you started it and you had these monkeys and monkeys evolved and these lower people, they became more evolved and evolved evolution. I think there is a certain amount of evolution that can happen. We see it. It usually happens from crossbreeding. But their version of it is, again, silly. Okay, well, then where did the monkeys come from? Well, they came from these other lower. You see, there was this goo that just so happened by coincidence happened to have all of these, the perfect chemicals to create DNA, and the DNA just happened to come together and then in like single cell organisms, and then those evolved and became more complex organisms. Does this sound stupid? It is stupid. They can sit here and say, oh, well, your religion, it just requires you to go off into a fantasy world. Not like this shit. Now, I'll be the first to say there's certain things that you're going to read in your Bible. There's certain things in your Christian faith that you may not understand. You just got to take those on faith. Look, that's part of the gig. It comes with the territory. We're told now we don't see clearly. We don't see. It's like looking in a mirror, because at that time a mirror was a piece of shiny metal. You couldn't see clearly. But the day will come when we do understand all of this, when we leave this realm. So some of this stuff in our religion, we have to take that on faith. We don't understand it. We have to take it by faith. Everything in the atheistic religion requires faith. Everything, just the primordial goose just so happened to have these the right chemical elements together to do DNA, and then the amoebas evolved. It's silly. I'm sorry. It's just stupid. It's just absolutely, the whole thing is based on blind faith. There's nothing to go off of. There's not even a historical record of it. They can't replicate it in a laboratory, but they're claiming it's science. If you can't replicate it, it's not science. It's just your idea. And this is obviously, as a whole, a really stupid idea. Yet, time and again, I see them spout something off in the Christian believer. Just says, whoa, whoa, whoa. You really think that the whole world was created in 7 days? How do you explain that? Oh, you're stupid. Well, let me try to give you a reasoned argument. No, just say, well, how do you think? Well, how do you think the world was created?
Well, I think it happened over a millennia.
Okay, that's fine. So you're just arguing over time space. I'm not asking that. I'm asking, how was it created? How did it come about into existence?
Well, there was the Big Bang.
Oh, the Big Bang. Okay. Okay. And it just so happened to all come together with the perfect atmosphere out of the Big Bang just by happenstance.
Well, yeah.
Okay, well, then how did people come about?
Evolution.
Evolution from what? Well, from lower animals. Okay, how did the lower animals come about?
Well, from even lower organism. And at some point in time, they're going to get to the primordial goo.
There was just this goo there, and it just so happened by pure happenstance. Make them look stupid because they are stupid. It's ridiculous. Quit being defensive. Quit being on defense. Get offensive, Christian believers. Why do you care about offending these assholes? They're assholes. Offend them. If Jesus was here walking the earth, he would be offending them. They're assholes. Also, there's nothing wrong with mocking these people. They deserve mockery. So now you're telling me this primordial goo just so happen to have all of the elements and to combine to make DNA, and they combined all on their own by pure happenstance and started creating single cell organisms. Because we know, like, if you see an animal, if you walk along and see a calf, well, you know, the calf didn't just come into existence. You knew a bull bred a cow, and the cow had the calf. An organism doesn't come into existence by happenstance. It comes from reproduction. Yet these first microscopic organisms that everything evolved from just came about by happenstance. Can you replicate that in a laboratory for me, please? Can you create a primordial goo? Can you take all of the elements of DNA and just put them in a blender? And then wait.
Well, no, because it takes millions of years. If you can't replicate it,
then it's not science. There was an article sometime back, and it was in an actual, one of these science publications, but somebody had gone back and they'd gone over all of this science that had gotten published, peer-reviewed science, and they went back. And they went over these findings and they tried to replicate them. And then something like 99% of, I don't remember, I don't remember the percentage. I pulled that out.
So, I remember that. And you're wrong. It was 90%.
Well, I don't remember the exact number. But in the overwhelming majority of this science that at the time was proclaimed, it's science, it's published, it's peer reviewed, they went back and they couldn't replicate a single damn one in the vast majority of them. In other words, they did A, B, and C, and sometimes they got G, sometimes they got Z, sometimes they got X. Science would say that theory's junk, throw it out, we need a new hypothesis. That's how science works. There's nothing wrong with science. They are the real anti-science people. Science is replicatable. That's what makes it science. Otherwise, it's just somebody having a competing theory. But no, they had gone back and they couldn't replicate. At the time, you go back 5 years ago and they were parading this latest scientific study shows. Well, they gone back and tried to replicate the study. I mean, again, science says if ABC results in D, then it doesn't matter who does it because that's going to be the result because it's truthful. If you go back and try to replicate and you do ABC and you don't get D, you get something else. I sound like LGBTQ. You do ABC and instead of D, you get LGBTQ. Then you know, well, okay, maybe I did it wrong. So you go back over it and make sure you did exactly like the other person claimed they did it. It's amazing because if they claim, the original people claiming these things, if they claim, well, I did A, B, and C and got D as a result. And this is proven science. Okay, then if you can't do A, B, and C, and D result, then they lied. They made that shit up. How many of these people with their unreplicatable so-called science got, like, I don't know what the equivalent of being disbarred from being a scientist would be, but they should be, but they won't be. The fact of the matter, and we got to wrap up here. The fact of the matter is, real, actual science proves the existence of a creator. If you can consistently do A, B, and C and get D as a result, then that means there is an order. There is an order. Math exists. Math came about just by randomness. Remember, this whole belief system we're talking about over here, the humanist atheist Spurg belief system, revolves around the notion that all of this stuff happened by pure chance. But yet we have order. If you do ABC, you get D as a result consistently, then that is a set law in nature. There's a rule that is orderly. You don't get order from chaos. You don't get, a bunch of random things happen. All of this belief exists, is founded on, it relies on the assumption that these things happened at random. There was no order to them whatsoever. It just happened by pure coincidence. All of this pure coincidence. But yet, if it is random and pure coincidence, you wouldn't get D as a result. Science proves the order of the universe. It proves the order of the creation. And if there is order in the creation, then somebody created it. If you went and there was just a big pile of rubble, you wouldn't look at this big pile of rubble of random shit, just concrete chunks and a little bit of wood and a piece of roofing. But you wouldn't look at that and go, look, it's a house. No, because it's just random material. But if you walk up and look at a house, you say, wow, this house just came about randomly. No, you would say somebody built this house. It just makes sense. Yet the same people who would acknowledge that somebody built this house, look at the entire world, the entire creation, and they say it happened just on its own. Nobody built it. Nobody built it. It just came about like magic on its own. But the point here is not them. The point here is that as a Christian believer, you need to quit wasting your time defending yourself to assholes. Get offensive. Quit getting this mindset, you can't be offensive. I don't want to offend anybody. Get offensive. They're mocking you. They're calling your God. They're calling the creator of the universe a flying spaghetti monster. What? You're going to take somebody like that seriously and sit there and try to logically explain your faith to them? Mock them. They're dumbasses. They're assholes. Mock them. Make fun of them. Show them how stupid they are. Anyway, be offensive, Christians. It's good. Good to be offensive. We're going to wrap up. We'll wrap up on that note. Once again, thank you, all of you who aren't shy and pay your tithes. I do appreciate it. We'll wrap up on that note. Thank you again. We'll be back here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.